Former Office of Personnel Management Director John Barry is visiting D.C. from Australia, where he's now the ambassador. As one of the most high-profile gay federal employees, he's helping the National Park Service call attention to a new initiative. The agency is embarking on a study of sites important to the history of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Americans. National Park Service Director Jonathan Jarvis joins us now with more. Director, great to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
So first of all, tell us, what is your ultimate goal with this new initiative?
Well, the National Park Service will be celebrating its centennial in 2016, and it's really our goal to ensure that the sites that we have designated as National Register or National Historic Landmarks or possibly even new National Park units, as well as the stories that we tell within our existing historic sites, represent the contributions of all Americans. And we've recognized that there's a gap here, that particularly the experience and stories and places of minorities and women are undertold and underrecognized. So our goal here is to really elevate these stories, and the LGBT story and experience is one of those.
And how are you going to do it? Describe the process you're beginning today.
Well, we have a pretty robust process. So today is just sort of the beginning of it. But essentially what we do is we invite a group of scholars that have demonstrated their expertise at writing about publishing the stories of these contributions of minorities. So we've done this in other theme studies around American Latinos or Asian American Pacific Islanders, and in this case, LGBT. So we invite the scholars to come and essentially identify themes, stories, and places that represent the civil rights experience of the LGBT community. And so they do that first sort of as a group of themselves with my staff assisting. Then we do it as a part of a public gathering. That'll be this afternoon here at the Department of the Interior. And then we'll be going out around the country with a series of these public gatherings to ensure that we get lots of public input and lots of understanding of the variety of themes. And then you take that theme and you begin to understand and find the place that most appropriately represents that period in time. For instance, Stonewall, which is a National Historic Landmark, but there are many, many other places, I'm sure, in this country that need that kind of recognition. So, and then ultimately there is a theme study that's completed by the scholars with the assistance of my staff and published, and that becomes a scholarly work that sort of contributes to the overarching academic work.
And we should say that Stonewall is the Stonewall in New York City, which is seen as a site for the one of the birth sites for the modern LGBT movement. What do you exactly mean by theme here? I mean, I usually think of something that defines a book, you know, or something like that. But what does theme mean in terms of the National Park Service?
Well, for us, an example, let's say we've done, I'll give you a couple of specific examples and then lead up to the LGBT theme study. So American Latino Heritage, we just completed a couple of years ago. And so we again brought in a group of scholars, and they looked specifically at the contributions that Latinos had done to music, to architecture, to language, to our relationships with Cuba, to the farm workers movement, to immigration, all of these sort of categories of the sort of American experience. And then within that, we identified sites that most represented it. So in the case of the American Latinos, it was the 40 Acres and La Paz that were the principal sites of the activism of Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers Movement. And so then we did designations to recognize those sites for their historical value. So the same concept would then be applied in the LGBT community. There may be homes, such as here in Washington, D.C., the home of Frank Kameny, who in some ways helped define the sort of modern gay rights movement.
And who is he, for those of us who don't know?
Dr. Frank Kameny was a very, very active individual in early on in the gay rights movement. He was a D.C. resident, and he was in some ways the first person to sort of assert that being gay was a positive thing, that was he could be openly gay and feel good about it, and sort of a gay pride component to it. And was very much of an organizer within the gay community to say this is a way we should portray ourselves with pride of who we are, and is sort of revered within that community.
We're speaking with Jonathan Jarvis, the National Park Service Director. We've already mentioned a couple of places that the Park Service has recognize the Stonewall Inn in New York City and Frank Kameny's home here in D.C. But you said that there was a gap. How would you describe the gap between what the National Park Service has drawn attention to as representing key moments in America's history and truly what you think the diverse range of places is that could be recognized?
Well, the Park Service, we're probably most known for, you know, managing, you know, the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone and Yosemite, the big national parks.
The natural wonders.
That's right. But actually, when you look at the sort of inventory of our 401 national park monuments, historic sites, we actually have more historical sites. We have the battlefields of the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. We have presidential homes, and we have sites that tell the story of the Civil Rights Movement, from the Ebenezer Baptist Church, which was Dr. Martin Luther King's church, to the Selma to Montgomery Trail. And we utilize those sites not only in terms of preserving them, but we utilize them to help American citizens understand the path that this country has been on since its inception, and that you know, the ideals that were established in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are high ideals, and we have been striving to get there. We're not there in many cases, but and so sort of those values represent that all Americans have inalienable rights, and that they have in many cases struggled to achieve that, certainly the African American community through the Civil Rights Movement, and so it is a social and mission responsibility of the National Park Service to keep those stories alive, to represent them for all Americans, so they, school children, new American citizens, others can learn about this. And so when you look just sort of numerically at, and let me back up for a second, we also have the authority to designate sites that are on the National Register of Historic Places and on the National Historic Landmarks Program. So those are the NHLs, National Historic Landmarks, are sort of the highest attainable recognition. And it's a long list, relatively long. There are thousands of them. They aren't managed by us. In many cases, they're managed by others, or even in some cases, privately owned. But we document them and then recognize them and then designate them, and they get a plaque and they become sort of a registry of historic sites. And they tell a story. If you line up many of these historic sites, you sort of get the story of you know, art history in the country, or architecture, or civil rights. When you look at the total inventory, less than 10% of the total inventory represent the contributions of minorities and women.
Wow, less than 10%. In a way, it seems like you're almost rewriting a textbook. If you think about decades ago, we didn't learn about LGBT history in history class in schools. It just wasn't taught in those textbooks, and now there are all sorts of different types of books you can learn from. I guess this is the location version of that.
Yes, and I think also we didn't tell the deeper stories even within the sites that we have. So, for instance, you know, we're right in the middle of the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, the 150th commemoration of the Civil War. And, you know, if you dial back to when we did the the 125th or the 100th about the Civil War. You know, it was all about strategy and tactics. You know, it was about the bore size of the cannon and about the heroism that was on both sides. But we really didn't go into sort of the cause of the Civil War. So this time, on the 150th, we've spent a great deal of effort. We did sort of the same thing. We brought in a group of scholars, and we worked specifically on the role slavery has played in the Civil War, is essentially the cause of the Civil War, and sort of changed the way we talked about that the Civil War resulted in, you know, not only, you know, 600,000 deaths on both sides, but the freeing of over 4 million enslaved Africans, who then it took another 100-plus years for them to actually achieve their rights as American citizens. So that's the story that we're now telling within our existing site. So the LGBT theme study will also help us tell stories of LGBT experience within our own existing parks and sites, as well as help us identify new sites that can be recognized and designated.
Jonathan Jarvis is director of the National Park Service. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.